from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. Yesterday, we started the show with immigration news out of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Today, we're doing it again. That's because the court is where many of the cases challenging the Trump administration's immigration policies end up. The Ninth Circuit's latest ruling requires Customs and Border Patrol to provide the essentials, like hygiene items and a place to sleep, to immigrant children who are detained at the border. KQED's Farida Javala Romero reports.
The government had argued that giving soap and toothbrushes to kids went beyond its obligations. But the judges agreed with a lower court that current conditions for detained children are not safe and sanitary, as required by a decades-old legal settlement. Plaintiff's attorney Peter Shea says he hopes this ruling sends a strong message to the White House.
These children cannot be detained in unsafe conditions or unsanitary conditions, and these government agencies will face contempt of court if they don't comply with the orders of the court.
The judges also reaffirmed the government must release migrant children promptly or move them to licensed facilities for minors. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala Romero.
After the recent mass shootings in California, Texas, and Ohio, a Central Valley sheriff is encouraging people to get permits to carry concealed weapons. Valley Public Radio's Laura Satsui has more.
Tulare County Sheriff Mike Boudreau says he's tired of hearing about active shooters taking innocent lives.
They're going into situations where the playing field is not an even game by any means, and that we have people that are having to run for their lives based on someone coming in, overpowering them with a gun.
Carriers of concealed weapons, or CCW, can protect communities, he says. He tweeted his comments. Someone replied, "What happens if a, quote, good guy with a gun is misidentified by law enforcement?"
For those who take the CCW class, they know and are taught how to respond when law enforcement gets there. They're to immediately lay the gun down.
Some experts say it's unlikely a CCW holder would be in a position to engage a mass shooter. One Stanford study also found there was an overall increase in violent crime after states passed right-to-carry laws. For those who apply to carry a concealed weapon, California says they have to have at least 8 hours of training. That's not enough for Visalia resident Jim Reeves.
So to cut my hair, somebody needs 3,400 hours of training, but to carry a gun around and supposedly defend me in an emergency situation requires 8 hours of training.
Boudreau says Tulare County is home to around 10,000 concealed weapon licenses. For the California Report, I'm Laura Satsui in Fresno.
In related firearms news, in an interview with the Los Angeles Times, LAPD Chief Michael Moore says he favors a ban on selling semi-automatic assault weapons and high-capacity ammunition clips in the U.S. That comes as an association of big city police chiefs has sent a letter to congressional leaders calling for the same ban. And moving on, an undocumented immigrant activist who was detained after reading a poem critical of immigration and customs enforcement is free today. Two NFL players and immigration advocates paid $50,000 in bail for the Bakersfield college student and farm worker. He was arrested at his home 2 days after he read his poem at a public meeting. KVPR's Monica Velez explains.
Jose Veo was at the Mesa Verde Detention Center in Bakersfield for 3 months before he was bailed out earlier this week. NFL players Josh Norman, a quarterback for the Washington Redskins, and Demario Davis, a linebacker for the New Orleans Saints, helped pay his bail in conjunction with groups that help immigrants who can't afford to pay.
It's time to begin standing up for what's right. Criminalizing children, separating families.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrested Veo at his Bakersfield home in May, just 36 hours after reciting this poem called Dear America in front of the Kern County Board of Supervisors. ACLU attorney Jordan Wells filed a First Amendment lawsuit on Bayo's behalf.
The only way to make sense of the $50,000 bail amount is to understand it as retaliation for Jose's poem criticizing the agency and thumbing his nose at the Trump administration, the immigration policies.
The ACLU asked the court to release bail or lower his bail, since he only makes about $20,000 a year. Federal District Judge Sally Kim struck down the lawsuit last month. She said Bayo was already in removal proceedings because he is undocumented and has been convicted of a DUI, for which he served time. In her decision, Judge Kim said immigration authorities had reasonable justification to arrest Bayo. The ACLU is appealing. For the California Report, I'm Monica Velez in Bakersfield.
In Hong Kong in recent weeks, there have been repeated clashes between thousands of protesters and police on the streets of the city, and ominous reports of Chinese troops massing near the border in possible preparation for a crackdown. Many of the protesters are young, and they say they're trying to safeguard Hong Kong's civil liberties as Beijing seeks to exert greater control. All of this worries the many people in California with ties to Hong Kong. KQED's Mary Franklin Harvin spoke with one of them. She's a student at UC Berkeley who asked to remain anonymous for fear of retribution.
The young woman is 21 years old, and she emigrated from Hong Kong to California with her parents 4 years ago. She's studying history and political science at UC Berkeley. The student says the demonstrations in Hong Kong illustrate what she sees as a generational divide between the younger Hong Kongers and the older ones, many of whom came from China with nothing.
For our generation is, however, different because we are born and raised with a lot of supportive materials and we're financially stable compared to the previous generation. So what we are craving for and what we are seeking for is democracy and freedom.
News reports this week showed students with ties to China and Hong Kong facing off at a campus bulletin board, where pro-Hong Kong and pro-Beijing students have been posting messages.
Some of the Chinese students would just walk to the board, just tear things down, or they would simply say, whatever you post on the board are fake news, and you have no proof, even though I can show them videos, show them a lot of footage and photos.
Footage of conflict in a place where young people like her don't have the same luxury of peaceful protest that she does at UC Berkeley. For the California Report, I'm Mary Franklin Harvin.
Support for the California Report comes from Strauss Family Creamery, producing 100% organic milk in reusable glass bottles for more than 25 years, keeping 500,000 pounds of milk containers out of landfills every year. StraussFamilyCreamery.com. Energy Upgrade California, reminding Californians to use less energy every day. Keep it golden at EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
If you have a family member who suffers from mental illness, you know its effects can spill into the next generation.
Your mother is a world-class escapist. She has a PhD in escapism and procrastination. Though my therapist did point out you do not need a PhD in these subjects.
This week's California Report magazine is a very personal story about how a mother-daughter relationship has been shaped by mental illness on two continents. Listen in wherever you get your podcasts. 50 years ago this week, Woodstock, the granddaddy of all music festivals, happened in upstate New York. It was the summer after the Summer of Love in San Francisco, and plenty of Californians made the cross-country trip to keep the party going and hear some of the musical giants of the era. For some, Woodstock was the concert of a lifetime, but to others, it created a sense of community during fraught times. Bill Wiener, who lives near Pismo Beach, remembers.
When all of us looked around and saw there were 500,000 of our own, I think it legitimized us and gave us some sort of political power because we all came home from that to really started protesting the war in Vietnam. I think it gave us a lot more courage that we had the numbers now to make a difference.
And that's the California Report for Friday, August 16th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer and Katie McMurrin, with help from Jim Bennett. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Rock on, California.